Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
You know he's working on the Sabbath, and if he was from God, he wouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. And they began to argue with him about who did it and why they did it and what happened. And finally the man said, "Hey, I don't know nothing about none of that. What I know is, listen to me, what I know is I was blind, now I see."
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Tell y'all something? I'm a little nervous. There's a lot of estrogen in this room right here. And I've been living long enough to know that that can be a dangerous thing for some of us. You know what I mean? It can be a good thing, and let's just talk about it like that. I want to talk to you tonight for just a little bit on a subject. The title of my message tonight, I always give it a title because Kelly always asks me what the title is. The title is A Blind Man That Wouldn't Shut Up. And that's what we're going to talk about. So if you got a Bible, I want you to open it to Luke chapter 18, and we're going to read some verses in just a minute. But I want to talk to you tonight on that subject of a blind man who wouldn't shut up. I want us to think for just a moment. When I was getting ready, and I'm going to try my best to keep this microphone where you can hear me, but I got my built-in sound system, so if I don't think you'll have to worry about it. Luke chapter 18. And we're going to start reading in just a few minutes in verse 35, but we'll get there in just a minute. When I was thinking about this message and was going, I did some research, and they tell me that there is, at this point in time in our country, in the United States of America, about 2.5 million people who are blind. I can't imagine, of all the senses I have, the five senses that allow me to live in this world, I think that's probably the one that I would miss the most if it went away. I can't imagine not being able to see. And they tell me that there's about 2.5 million people in our country today who are either totally blind or legally blind and have trouble seeing. But what I know from study as I did this research, that in the day that Jesus lived 2,000 years ago, they estimate that in the area of Palestine where Jesus lived, up to 30% of the population was blind. And some of it had to do with diet and all that sort of thing. Some of it had to do with just being in a desert location in sun glare and sand, and over time you'd lose your eyesight. But can you imagine, 2.5 million sounds like a lot, but three out of every 10 being blind. And Jesus had a ministry to blind people. 7 times in the Gospels, Jesus healed blind folks. You can do and read that. It was one of those things that Jesus was involved in. In fact, the Bible says that healing the blind was a sign that Jesus was the Messiah sent from God. The Old Testament prophesied that when the Messiah got here, he would restore sight to the blind. Now, let's think for just a minute. Remember John the Baptist? It was Jesus' cousin. And he had come preaching the way and making the way for Jesus. And John gets arrested, and he's in jail, and he's about to have his head cut off. And he's thinking there. Now, it's one thing to believe in Jesus when everything's going good, but now all of a sudden he's facing death. And he's going to have his head cut off, and he's really wanting to make sure before he really gets past the jumping off spot that Jesus really is who he said he was. He wants to know that he knows that he knows. And so he sends word to Jesus and some of Jesus' disciples, and he tells Jesus, "Listen, cuz, this ain't a good day. And I want to know, are you who you say you are?" And Jesus sent word back, and he said, "You tell my cousin, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the blind receive their sight. You tell him the captives are being set free." In other words, what he said was, if he walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. I am exactly who I say I am. So let's read this story. If you've got your Bible in Luke chapter 18, here's what Luke writes for us. The Bible says, "And it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And so they told him all. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. And he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, 'What do you want for me to do for you?' And he said, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people who saw it praised the Lord." The Bible calls him here in Luke, said, a certain blind man. If you go and read the story in Mark, Mark says that his name was Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus is not a name. Okay, Bartimaeus, and David's already gave you a Greek lesson, so I'm not going to get into that. But what it literally means is son of Timothy, or son of Timaeus. So Bartimaeus is not his name, it's his title. And so we don't even know who this is. Would you agree that sometimes when we read the Bible, we find ourselves paying close attention to the minor points? We find ourselves majoring on things that really aren't that important. You see, we like to major on the blind man that got healed, but the Bible doesn't even give him a name. You see, he's insignificant. This is not a story about a blind man getting healed. This is the story about a Savior who can heal the blind man. And there's a difference in that. This is all about Jesus. So I want us to spend some time today and look at Jesus. What I want you to understand, first of all, is I want you to see this guy. He heard about Jesus. Now, he is blind. And the Bible says that Jesus was passing through Jericho. And that's where this man Bartimaeus lives. Now, there's a lot of people who would go, "Man, what a fortunate set of circumstances that this blind man just happens to live in Jericho, and Jesus just happens to be passing by. What a fortunate set of circumstances." Really? What a bunch of coincidences. This has all the makings of a divine appointment. This has all the makings of something Jesus set up a long time ago. And the Bible says he gets to Bartimaeus. Now, let's look at this guy for just a minute. He's got some needs in his life. His first need is a physical handicap. He is blind. We have no idea why. He could have been born that way. This could have happened by accident, but it doesn't matter. He is blind. He is physically handicapped. He cannot do what he wants to do. He's limited by the circumstances of his life and his body. He has a need. He not only has a physical need, he has a financial hardship. Because since he's blind, he can't work. And in the day of Jesus, there is no assistance from the state. Okay, so the only way he makes money, the only way he's able to eat is if somebody comes and gets him every morning and they take and lead him somewhere and sit him down and give him a cup in his hand. And the only way he eats that night is if somebody puts coins in his cup. So he is in a mess. And his life is in a mess that's getting no better. He has a need. His need is obvious. We have to look at it. Oh, we can see it jumping out of the pages at us. He obviously has some needs. Now, what's your need? See, because this whole set of circumstances is all being put into play. Remember, I told you this is not about the blind man. This is about Jesus. And Jesus, being God, has orchestrated this whole set of events so that tonight on Wednesday night at Bowie County Correctional Center, we can look at this story and get him tell us something. And what he's telling us is, what is your need? What is it? Now, in this group, some of you got relationship needs. I promise you that's true. And some of us who came in here have relationship needs. Some of us have emotional needs. Some of us have spiritual needs. There's some of you here today who really need to know that there's a God that loves you, and your life can be turned around in a moment. And you need to know that the spiritual wars that you're fighting are the most important wars that you will ever fight. They take precedence over the physical things and the emotional things. And until you settle the spiritual issues, the physical and emotional will never be settled. And maybe that's your need tonight. I don't care what your need is. What I want you to understand is that we all have needs, and it doesn't matter what the need is. The same good news for Bartimaeus is the same good news for you. Jesus is passing by. Okay? That's what he needs. He thought this was going to be like any other day. So did you. Some of you came in here because it's just different where you've been being. Used to come in here and minister at the prison and go back to my church. People say, I don't know why you go down and talk about it. You know they ain't in there for the right reason. And you know what I told them? I said, yep, and most of you on Sunday morning sitting in here ain't in here for the right reason either. But some of you, let's be honest, you showed up tonight just because it's a little different. It's something else to do. Can I tell you that what really happened, whether you realize it or not, is we're right in the middle, ladies, of a divine appointment. God has orchestrated this whole event before the world was ever created. He had a plan for you and your life, and it involved what's going on here tonight before he ever said, let there be, and created anything. This is not an afterthought with God. This is not something that God said, well, look at that. Let me take advantage of that set of circumstances. Nope. He orchestrated this whole thing. He put it together, and he planned it. Bartimaeus hears a commotion. That's what we read, huh? He hears noise. And he says, what's going on? What's that? And somebody says, man, Jesus is passing by. Can I tell you what I know? When you're in the middle of a need this big, sometimes Jesus can seem a million miles away. Come on now. We don't need to be holy in here. Let's just be honest. Sometimes he can seem a million miles away. You find yourself in the middle of the hole that you're in, and all of a sudden you find that people you thought you could count on, they're not here anymore. And you find other people telling you, well, you made this mess, get out of it. They say, it's time to be strong. It's time to dig down somewhere and find something. And they offer all these words of advice that sound good and mean nothing. And then the devil jumps in. As if people aren't bad enough, the enemy comes in. And he starts whispering in your ear and he says, look, God doesn't love you. He don't care about you at all. If he cared about you one bit, none of this would have ever taken place. He would have kept this from happening. He'd have done something about it. And the fact that you're in this mess with this need, whatever this need is nothing more than proof that God doesn't care. Well, ladies, sometimes I know it feels like that. But can I tell you something? That's when you got to dig down inside, especially if you've already settled those spiritual issues. That's when you've got to dig down deep inside and realize that it doesn't matter how you feel. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I saw this was coming, and I made a commitment to you knowing this was going to be here. And I am in this place. We go through this together. I may not get you out of it, but we walk through it together. I am here. Jesus is near. And Bartimaeus, whatever his name is, needed to know that. And the Bible says he starts hollering for Jesus. Who is that? Jesus passing by. Jesus! Son of David! Have mercy on me. And the Bible says in our story, he's hollering with a loud voice. He's not being quiet about it. He's hollering. You see, what he knows is he's in a spot that if Jesus don't fix it, it ain't getting fixed. He's finally reached the end of his rope. I can't fix this. We got in the car today and we're driving up here. and Judy's on Facebook. You got to understand, Judy's always on Facebook. We are 60-year-old people. And she lives our life on Facebook. Everything about me is on Facebook. People come up to me saying, I know, I've never met you before in my life. They know everything about me because it's Facebook all the time. Somebody on Facebook wrote down. Somebody on Facebook wrote down and said, the Lord will never put more on us than we can bear. No, wait a minute. Don't clap. Because that's a lie. Tell me what verse of the Bible that's in. It's not in there. The Bible says God will always put more on you than you can bear. Because the Bible teaches that He's going to put you in situations because as long as you can bear it, you don't need Him. As long as you can handle it, you don't need Him. Ladies, if you're finally at that point today where you're willing to admit, I can't do this. I am past what I can accomplish on myself. This is more than I can bear. And I am sick to death of sitting by the road with a cup in my hand, begging from people just to be able to exist. And Jesus says, yes, you're finally where I want you to be. And Bartimaeus is hollering at the top of his voice, have mercy on me. And the church people come up and say, shh, be quiet. Don't be hollering. You know we don't do this. You need to be quiet. Jesus is passing by, and you got to be reverent. You need to keep the volume down. And the Bible says that at that point, Bartimaeus hollered louder. Now listen to me, ladies. That first word means a loud shout. But the second word means an emotional outcry. See, he started out just hollering. But when people tried to stop him, he knew, if this moment passes me by, there may never be another chance, and I will not let this pass by. And from somewhere deep down inside him, it welled up. And he hollered, and it came out of his heart, and he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says, Jesus stopped. In the middle of his going through, Jesus stopped. The crowd tried to stop the blind man, but the blind man stopped Jesus. Now hear me, listen to me. What stopped Jesus? Not his hollering. What stopped Jesus, listen to me, was his desperation. This blind man had finally reached the point of desperation. Jesus, you don't stop today. I ain't real sure there'll be a tomorrow. If something doesn't change, I'm not real sure I can do this anymore. And Jesus, I'm through trying. I'm not going to try to fix this anymore. Because, Lord, everything I touch, I mess up. And I'm sick of having to live like this. Ladies, listen to me. Now, I want you to hear me. We're fixing to get close to bringing this to a close because you got to listen to me. Don't be ashamed of finally getting desperate. Because Jesus responds to desperation. Long as you're still playing games, long as you're still just trying to get out of the jam, he's not interested in being involved with your game. But when you're at the end of it all, your desperation will get his attention. And notice what Jesus said. Now, I got to show you this. I'm doing okay. Notice what Jesus said. He said, bring him to me. Bring him here. The Bartimaeus don't have a clue what's fixing to happen. Jesus, he stands up in front of Jesus, and Jesus looks at him and asks the strangest question I've ever read in the Bible. He said, blind man, what you want me to do for you? Now, wait a minute. Now, let's be honest. We're not going to get struck dead. That's kind of crazy, ain't it? I mean, when I read it, I looked at it and said, what do you mean, what does he want? He wants what? To see. I mean, I ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know what he wants. And you know what else he wanted? He not only wanted to hear him, you're right, but understand. Jesus, at this point, hear me, ladies. Remember, he's desperate. Jesus is not just offering to make him see. Jesus is giving him a blank check and saying, I am now ready, willing and able to do whatever you ask from me. Anything. If you just want to see, that's what we'll do. But if you want the world, we'll do that too. You see, the Bible says that Jesus is able. He's not only willing, but he's able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever hope for or ask. You were to come up to me after this service and say, preacher, I need $1,000 for bail bond. I'm going to say, me too. I mean, I'll write you a check, but don't take that to the bank. Or else we'll be coming to church in here together. You understand what I mean? See, you got to know who you're asking something from. Now, if you need $5, that I can do. You got to know who you're asking from. Some people you're sitting in here and you're going, preacher, you don't have any idea what my need is. You don't know how deep this goes. You're right, and I don't have to know. You're saying, I can't ask for something that big. Listen to me. Big to who? Big is a relative term. Big compared to what? Ask $1,000 from me, I can't do it. But ask David, he got all the money in the world. He'll do it. You understand what I mean? Jesus said, what do you want from me? Ladies, hear me. I'm getting ready to wrap this up. He's sitting right beside you. And if you'll listen with the ears of your heart, he's saying, what do you want from me? I'm a good father. I love you. What do you want? And the Bible says Jesus touched him and his sight came back. And then he jumped up and had a fit. He had a spell. He did. The Bible says he went his way glorifying God. That's for the church folks. He had a fit. He came undone. There was a time when I thought you were supposed to sit in church and just be real quiet. But then I have learned. A lady came to her preacher, and he was a new pastor at the church. And she said, sir, I don't really like the direction you're leading us. Because you're telling everybody they need to jump up and holler and scream and shout. And I don't read anywhere in the Bible where Jesus ever jumped up and hollered. And the preacher said, ma'am, you're exactly right. He never did. But everybody he ever touched jumped up and hollered. And I want to be one of those people that spend the rest of my life telling people what he did for me. And let me close all this up with another story. There's another incident of a blind man. And that man was blind, and Jesus, to heal him, you know this story, Jesus reaches down in the dirt and pulls some dirt up in his hand, and he spits in that mud and makes some mud. And then he wipes that mud and spit on that blind man's eyes, and he says, now, go wash in the pool. And the man did. And when he washed off, he could see. And he came back to Jesus, and Jesus said, go to the temple and show the priest. You see, as a blind man, he was unclean. He couldn't go to church and worship. And so he's going to the priest, and when he gets to the temple and he's talking to the priest about the fact that he'd been blind, they begin to try to talk him out of what had happened. Because they hate Jesus and say, you know, who did this to you, they said. And he said, Jesus did. Made some spit in his hand, made some mud, wiped it on my eyes. I see. They said, the priest said, but you know, he didn't do that by the power of God. That it was the power of the devil that he did that by, because God said we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day, and this is the Sabbath day, and he done been spitting in his hand and making mud and wiping it on your eyes and healing you. You know he's working on the Sabbath, and if he was from God, he wouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. And they began to argue with him about who did it and why they did it and what happened. And finally the man said, hey, I don't know nothing about none of that. What I know is, listen to me, what I know is I was blind, now I see. That's what I know. That's what I know. Ladies, listen to me. Some folks on the outside looking in will say, you're in the worst place you could possibly be. But I preach this Sunday to the church I preach in all the time, that whatever's happened in your life, if it's bringing you to Jesus, it can't be a tragedy. It's a blessing. Whatever it takes. And some people don't want to submit to what they think is a little nasty. I know some church ladies. You know them blue-haired church ladies. That if Jesus came walking up to them with the mud, making mud out of his spit, and he said, I'm going to wipe this on your face. No. Not him. But ladies, if you've ever had him touch you, the next time he makes some spit, you'll be going right here.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.